The following is a recording of the Sunday morning service of Rangeville Community Church.
Well, who has Christmas lights set up in their home? Fair few. Who's got Christmas lights set up in their house yard or over their house? And there's a few more. Right, who's been out driving to look at Christmas lights this year? Right, that's the majority. Very good. You know, some Christmas light displays are amazing, aren't they? And you see the ones where in people's homes or as you're driving past them, and if you tune your radio to the right frequency, then the lights are actually synchronized with the music and you can sit there and enjoy it all in the most amazing ways. You know, some people spend months planning their Christmas light displays. Do you know in 2023, Australians imported $23 million worth of Christmas lights? So if you add that to the tens of millions of dollars worth of Christmas lights that they already had, that's a lot of lights. Or I was able to find that in 2017, the cost of the power bill for Australia for lights, power's gone up a bit since 2017, hasn't it? So if you just add in that factor, for this year, Christmas lights will cost, in terms of your electricity bill, about $203 million. A lot of people put a lot of money into Christmas lights. Christmas lights are big business. Christmas lights are beautiful. Christmas lights are... Where's Christ? Where's Christ in Christmas lights? Well, today we're going to look at that. And so if we're going to talk about Christmas lights, we have to start with Christmas trees. So what's the origin of the Christmas tree? Over the last weeks, I've actually been asking people, what do you know about the origin of Christmas trees? Where do they come from? Some people go, I don't know. Some people go, I think it's about a legend about, I don't know. So I want to start by addressing one of those myths. A common one is the Yule. Now, Yule was an ancient midwinter festival. It was celebrated actually today, 21st of December. Here in Australia, today, 21st of December, summer solstice, the longest day in terms of hours of daylight, which means if you're in the northern hemisphere, it is the shortest day. And in some places, the sun doesn't even come up. They call it midwinter. And so in the ancient Norse and Celtic traditions, and if you're not sure of who the Norse and the Celts are, think Vikings. Right? So if you think back to that era, they would cut down a tree on the 21st of December, they'd drag the tree into their house, they'd get the trunk end of it and put that in the fireplace and light it up. And every day for 12 days they'd burn a little bit more of the tree. Now their thinking behind that was that it was to celebrate the rebirth of the sun. Because remember, it's been complete darkness. They haven't been able to see the sun or only short for a short time. So it's the rebirth of the sun. It was driving away the darkness through the firelight. It was meant to celebrate from that day on. Days are going to start getting longer. Spring is on its way. The light of the log was meant to bring good luck, prosperity, and ward off those evil spirits. And so for 12 days in a row, they would burn a little bit more of the log. When missionaries came into those cultures and some became Christians, they merged their old traditions of Yule with Christianity. And at least in one account, which was from 1184, the Yule log tradition moved from December 21st to December 24th, Christmas Eve. And so have you ever heard of Yuletide? Yuletide is the merging of the Yule log tradition, or Yule, together with Christianity. And although it involved a tree, it's not the origin of the Christmas tree. I just thought I'd put that myth to death, all right? So that's why I've told you that. So what is the origin of the Christmas tree and Christmas lights? There's actually a gospel story in this, and I want to unpack the gospel story today through the Christmas tree and its lights, because we want to see Christ as the light of Christmas when we see Christmas lights. So to do this, we actually go back to Genesis chapter 1. In Genesis chapter 1, God created Adam and Eve, the first human beings who lived in the Garden of Eden. They lived in perfect relationship with God and one another because there was no sins, no arguments, no disagreements. So what did they do with all their spare time? Well, God blessed Adam and Eve, and they lived in paradise, caring for God's creation. They had complete freedom, except they were told not to eat the fruit of the tree that was in the middle of the garden, the tree of knowledge of good and evil. All went well until one day, when Eve was tempted by the devil in the form of a snake to eat the fruit of that tree, and she did. And she gave some to Adam, and he ate from it as well. What was that fruit? Tradition says it was an apple. But I propose that if Queensland is paradise, then the most tempting fruit would be a mango, right? All right. Well, the consequence of eating the apple or the mango or whatever fruit it was that Adam and Eve were banished from paradise, banished from the Garden of Eden. But they were not left without hope. They were told that a descendant of theirs would defeat the devil. And in turn, there'd be restoration of creation back towards what God intended it to be. And that's the promise of a Messiah, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who would come and save the world from sin, death, and the devil. So what's all that got to do with Christmas? Well, in the Middle Ages, Christians honoured Adam and Eve as the parents of humanity. Some churches, like the Eastern Orthodox Church, have actually made Adam and Eve into saints. Others, like the Catholics and Lutherans, honour them as unofficial saints. And churches like the Orthodox Church, the Catholic Church, Lutheran Church, have a calendar of saints where they celebrate the life of that saint on different days. And I'm sure many of you have done this, knowingly or unknowingly, because has anyone here ever heard of Saint Valentine's Day? And what date is that? February 14th. So you all know at least one Saint's Day. All right. Some of you might have celebrated St. Patrick's Day on March the 17th. The traditional day for celebrating the saints of Adam and Eve is December 24th. And in medieval times, that would then be celebrated with what was called the Paradise Play. And so they would gather around an evergreen tree that was in the front of the churchyard. And there they would reenact the story of Adam and Eve in paradise, otherwise known as the Garden of Eden. And the tree that they would gather around became known as the Paradise Tree. And it was meant to represent the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And then they would put fruit on the tree. Because remember, you were tempted by fruit. So they would put apples on the tree. Because many thought apples were the forbidden fruit. So in the late 1400s in Germany, there were reports of other decorations being added. They started to add communion wafers. They started to add cherries. And then they started adding gingerbread biscuits in the shape of bells, angels and stars. Has anyone eaten gingerbread this Christmas in the shape of any one of those things? Yeah. There's your origin of your gingerbread at Christmas. At some point, the tree was moved from the front yard inside the churches. I couldn't find this, but I did wonder if that was because the wafers and the gingerbread was getting soggy from the snow. But the celebration of Adam and Eve around the Paradise Tree on December 24th was a tradition in those Middle Age churches. But remember, the good news of the gospel is that God did not leave Adam and Eve only with judgment. He also gave hope. He gave them the hope through the promise of a Messiah, Jesus Christ. And the Apostle Paul wrote about this in 1 Corinthians 15 when he wrote, "So it is written, the first man Adam became a living being, the last Adam a life-giving spirit. The spiritual did not come first, but the natural, and after that the spiritual. The first man was of the dust of the earth, the second man is of heaven. So what this is saying is that the first Adam, the first living being, the natural man, the dust of the earth, this is the Adam who was in the Garden of Eden, the one who was tempted by the devil and fell to sin, which in turn brought death into our world. Jesus Christ came as the last Adam. He came as a life-giving spirit. He is the man of heaven. So Jesus came, and through his death on the cross, he defeated the power of sin, death, and the devil. So what we see is the first Adam's actions brought sin and death. The actions of Jesus defeated sin and death to bring forgiveness and life, restoring creation back to the way God intended it to be. So on December 24th, the medieval church celebrated Adam and Eve's reenactment of the paradise play around the paradise tree, remembering that the first Adam had brought sin and death into creation. But then the natural flow of it is that the next day, the 25th, was the day of the Nativity, the day of celebrating the Nativity, which celebrated the birth of Jesus Christ. And so, over time, the paradise tree was placed into the churches on Christmas Day, and it became known as the Christ tree. And so on December 25th, as they celebrated Christ's Mass, which became shortened to Christmas, ultimately the tree became known as the Christ Mass tree or the Christmas tree. That's the origin of the Christmas tree. The first recorded instance of the Christ tree being set up in a church was in Strasbourg Cathedral in 1539. That occurred during the Protestant Reformation, when the Lutherans were bringing new customs into the culture of its time. And so with it now known as the Christ tree, they placed the Star of Bethlehem on top of the tree. So that star represents from Matthew chapter 2. And it says in Matthew 2, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who's been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. So this is the story of the Magi, or the wise men, who came from a distant land in the east, and they followed the star to bring their treasures of gold and frankincense and myrrh, acknowledging Jesus as king. And this is why the star is put on the top of the Christmas tree, the Star of Bethlehem, that we too might follow the star to know the Christ. Now, the next major development in the Christmas tree is one that we have to thank the Moravians for. For those who aren't familiar with Moravians, these were Protestant Christians. They were known for their fervent faith and their evangelistic efforts. They held a prayer meeting once. It was a 24/7 prayer meeting. It didn't just go for a week or a month or a year. It went for 100 years, non-stop, 24/7. And during that time, they sent out over 300 missionaries. The Moravians were devout in their love of the New Testament. And if we look at the Gospel of John, we see a major theme is that Jesus is the light of the world. And for that reason, they would put candles on the Christmas tree. And so if we look in John's Gospel, in John chapter 1, starting in verses 4 and 5, it says, "In him," that is in Christ, "was life. And that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it." And then as we continue through John, we get to John chapter 3, verse 16, one of probably the most significant, best-known verses in the New Testament. "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." Three verses later, in verse 19, It says that this is the verdict. Light has come into the world. That is Christ. The light has come into the world. But the people loved darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. As we continue through John's Gospel, one of the significant things about John's Gospel is it has these seven statements. They're called the I am statements, where Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. I am, and in this case, I am the light of the world. And so we see in John chapter 8, verse 12, when Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Now, similarly, in the next chapter, in John chapter 9, verse 5, while I am in the world, I am the light of the world. And then in John chapter 12, verse 46, I have come into the world as a light, so that no one who believes in me should stay in darkness. John's gospel is so clear, isn't it? So clear. Jesus came as a light into the world of sin and darkness. See, often darkness is associated with a sense of foreboding, a sense of evil, a sense of death. And yet Jesus came into that world of darkness and he brought life. And since that sin of Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, sin, death and darkness had prevailed. But Jesus came as light into that world of darkness, so that anyone who puts their faith in Jesus Christ will never walk in darkness. Through Jesus, death was defeated. And those who put their faith in Jesus Christ have the light of life. This is the story we see again and again throughout John's Gospel. And so the Moravians, who by the early 1700s were living in eastern Germany at a place called Hernhut, they started putting candles on their Christmas trees to represent Christ as the light of the world. The one who came to overcome darkness and bring us into light. Can you hear their passion for evangelism? Their passion that people who would be in darkness because they don't know Christ would be drawn to the light and then accept Christ, the light, into their lives. And so they would take the candles, they'd melt some wax onto the tree and then stick the candle into that hot wax and let it cool. Or else they would pin the candles into place on the tree. The Christ tree. Now, the next major leap forward was how the global phenomena of Christmas trees began. And again, it came from Germany. The first Christmas tree in England was probably set up by Queen Charlotte. Queen Charlotte was the German wife of King George III. In the year 1800, she'd set up a tree at the Queen's Lodge in Windsor. She had a party where she invited the children of the noble families. And we actually have a description of someone who was there. Dr. John Watkins was there. And this is his description of it. From the branches of which hung bunches of sweetmeats, almonds and raisins in paper, fruits and toys, most tastefully arranged, the whole illuminated by small wax candles. After the company had walked around and admired the tree, each child obtained a portion of the sweets it bore, together with a toy, and then all returned home quite delighted. As you would, right? And then, as Rod mentioned 2 weeks ago, Queen Charlotte's granddaughter was Queen Victoria. And Queen Victoria, and she had married a German husband, Prince Albert, and they set up a Christmas tree at Windsor Castle. That was decorated, and a drawing of that circulated in the paper called the Illustrated London News in 1848. And so you can see a copy of that drawing there. Now, as for some people today, if it's good enough for the royals, it's good enough for everyone else, right? Depends on which royal you're following. Anyway, Christmas trees with candles started to become very popular among the noble circles within England and then among the wider population and then in the British colonies. And so from that, the global phenomenon of Christmas trees spread out across much of the world. However, there was a problem with candles on Christmas trees, particularly conifers. Clearly the fire hazard was real. And after homes and even a hospital got burnt down. Some started putting the candles inside lanterns, or they would make little glass baubles and put the candles in those. Does anyone here have glass baubles on their tree? There's the origin. So around that same time was a man called Thomas Edison, who was the man who patented the invention of the light bulb in 1880. And so in 1882, Edward Johnson, who was Edison's associate and vice president of the Edison Light Company, commissioned the manufacture of 80 small lights, each the size of a walnut. Some were red, some were white, some were blue. And he put them on a Christmas tree. There's a photo of the Christmas tree there. That's from the Henry Ford Museum in the US. But this guy was an inventor himself. He was an amazing man. Not only did he have these lights which were hand-wired to go around the tree, he put the tree on a turntable on a little drive motor, so it rotated. And as it rotated, first the red light would come on, and then it would turn off and the blue light would come on, and then it would turn off and the white light would come on. So as the tree rotated, it would change its lights. So not only was this the first tree with electric Christmas lights, it was a light tree that where the lights flashed on and off. Remarkable, isn't it? For all of that, he became known as the father of the electric Christmas tree lights. What a title. And from there it took off. People wanted to start to hire Christmas lights. They're too expensive to buy, so Edison's light company was hiring out lights every Christmas until people could afford them. And then General Electric started sponsoring community electric light competitions. Sort of get a sense of commercialism, marketing in the midst of all that. And so from the 1920s on, they were sponsoring these community lighting competitions. And today, our incandescent light bulbs have been replaced with the LEDs, creating safe and almost limitless creativity. So, when you look at the Christmas lights, we realise the message of Christ may not be as evident unless you're looking at a nativity scene. But let's recap, because there's actually a really powerful gospel message in this story of the Christmas lights. When you look at your Christmas tree, it's a reminder of the tree of knowledge of good and evil in the middle of the Garden of Eden. It's a reminder that Adam and Eve fell for temptation at that tree, and they sinned, bringing sin and death into creation. We have a need for redemption and new life, and God had a plan to bring us redemption and new life through his Son. When you look at the Christmas tree and you see the star on top, the star is a symbol of the Star of Bethlehem. It reminds us that wise men from the east came in search of the newborn king. They were willing to travel a long way and keep following that star until they found the Christ child. And with their gifts of gold, frankincense and myrrh, they acknowledged Jesus as king of the kingdom of God and the awaited Messiah. When you look at the Christmas lights on the tree, you are reminded that Jesus is the light of the world. Adam and Eve brought sin and death and darkness into creation. But Jesus in John 3:19 said this is the verdict. Light has come into the world. But the people loved darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. See, people need to choose whether they'll walk in darkness or light. And there is an option that's available to us because Jesus lived a perfect life without sin. Jesus is the light of the world who defeated the powers of darkness. When Jesus died on the cross, he defeated the power of sin, death, and the devil. Through Jesus' death on the cross, sin is defeated. And we can have new life in Christ. We walk from darkness into light and new life in Christ. Because whoever puts their faith in Jesus need never walk in darkness. Jesus said in John chapter 8 verse 12, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. When we put our faith in Jesus Christ, the darkness in our lives is now lit up by the light of Christ. And then we will have the light of Christ shining in us. Christmas is a reminder to us that Jesus is the ultimate gift given by God to take us from darkness into light and spiritual death into spiritual life. And so, while you may look at the commercialization of Christmas, as you drive down the street, you may ask, where is Christ in Christmas lights? There's one more very, very important factor. It's a very important factor for every single one of you. And that's because it is every single one of you. You are the light of the world. That's what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 to 16. He said, you are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. See, wherever you are, this Christmas, you are light. You are light in the world. So, as Jesus said, let your light shine before others. Let your good deeds reveal the light of Christ wherever you are. May your light glorify your Father in heaven. So this Christmas, look and see the gospel in the Christmas lights around the Christmas tree. This Christmas, shine as light in the world wherever you are. By your words and actions, bring the light of Christ into the world around you. May you light up Christmas to those around you. Let us take a minute and just listen. God, what did you say to me today? And what will I do with what I've heard? Heavenly Father God, as we anticipate Christmas later this week, we look forward to celebrating. But Lord, in the midst of the hustle and bustle and the busyness, it's easy to miss the Christ in Christmas. Lord, as we drive down the street, as we walk down the street, as we sit in our homes and we see the lights, Lord, may it be a prompt to remember the true story of your love, of your plan of redemption. That, Lord, when there was sin and death, you sent Christ as light into the world with victory over sin and death to bring forgiveness and life. Lord God, we pray that we may see Christ as the light of the world. But Lord, through Christ dwelling in his people, I pray, Father God, that you would bless each one here, that they would be the light in the world wherever they are, that, Lord, they would carry the light of Christ, that they would shine it bright into our community through their words, through their actions, through their love, that, Lord, our community will see the light of Christ through the people of Christ, and that, Lord, that is a light that can never be dimmed. It doesn't get turned off in the when the evening is done, but may it continue to shine. I bless each one here in the name of Jesus Christ. And thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
That concludes our sermon recording. Thank you for listening. If you have any questions or require further information, please contact our church office on 0746 361 144, or you can email us office@rangeville.com.